אתם עם SBS בעברית. The No Excuse for Sexual Violence Vigil at Hopetoun Gardens was an emotional gathering dedicated especially to raising awareness of the shocking, brutal treatment of women by Hamas on October the 7th. To hear more about this event, I'm now joined by Lillian Klein from Melbourne, one of the organizers of this event. Hi Lillian, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Amish.
Tell us a bit on what you do on your everyday life.
So in my daily life, I'm a family office advisor, and in the last 2 months of my life, I've been really devoting a lot of my time to advocacy for the Jewish community and to stand up against anti-Semitism wherever I see it and wherever it impacts my family. So I born and bred in Australia. I have 4 kids. I live in Elsternwick. I'm a proud Jewish Australian woman.
Okay. In the last couple of weeks, we tried to find interesting people to speak to about new initiatives on raising an awareness and better educate the broader community after the events of the 7th of October in Israel. And this time it's all to do with women. Tell us what brought you to create this event, No Excuse for Sexual Violence.
So No Excuse for Sexual Violence really grew out of a number of women who were very, very concerned about the silence from women's groups and human rights organizations, both here in Australia and around the world, and about the lack of condemnation around the horrific events of October 7, and particularly the sexual violence perpetrated by Hamas on Israeli and Jewish young girls and women.
There has been some complaints and accusation from Jewish women who claim that not enough has been done on this subject. Why the late response, and why it took more than 2 months to react?
Well, it's an excellent question, and one that we've been asking the organizations themselves. So UN Women took 50 days to even mention the atrocities of October 7 without singling out sexual violence. It took 57 days for them to condemn the sexual violence that was perpetrated on October 7. So this vigil was around shining a light on that silence, and basically making the point that there should be no excuses for sexual violence, there should be no excuses for rape, and that there is no context for these sorts of horrific events. And I feel that that's what a lot of the human rights organizations and the women's rights movement, who are always about listening to the victim, believing the victim, and condemning the perpetrators. In this situation, it felt like, given that it was Jewish people who were the victims, those organizations chose to remain silent. Mm.
So tell me more about the event itself. How did it go, and did everything go as planned?
So we ended up having to move venues. There was such a strong response from the community to attend a vigil. So originally we were expecting it to be about 300 or 400 people. Once we opened up registrations and we hit 1,000 people wanting to attend, we knew we needed to move to larger premises. So we moved to Hopetoun Gardens in Elsternwick.
Who attended?
We had Jackie Frank MC the event, and she flew in from Sydney. She was the founding editor of Marie Claire Australia, obviously a much loved and well-known women's magazine. We had Kylie Moore Gilbert as our guest speaker, the incredibly brave political scientist who specializes in Islam and the Middle East, who was held for 804 days as a hostage of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard. So she came to share a little bit about her experiences and about the horror that she has experienced in the last 2 months, so much so that she couldn't bring herself to watch the news, but she wanted to stand very much in solidarity with Jewish women. We also had a young girl by the name of Mika, who is a childhood friend of Naama Levy, the Israeli 19-year-old soldier taken captive by Hamas, and whose photo and the video footage of her with her bloodied tracksuit pants really became a symbol of the depravity faced by Israeli women on October the 7th. Yeah. And Mika's mother is from the massacred kibbutz Be'eri, so she came to share a little bit about her reflections. And finally, we had the wonderful Deborah Conway and her husband, Willie Ziger, performing some beautiful Israeli songs.
Pretty big event. How many people you said arrived?
We had just over 1,000 people.
Wow, that's a big crowd. So the message is out there. And what is happening next? What do you expect to happen now?
So what we have seen already happen was extraordinary media coverage. We did television interviews, radio interviews, and we made the front page of most of the newspapers in Australia. The intention was to draw light onto the issue of the silence of human rights and women's organisations about the plight of Israeli women. We wanted to encourage the media to still pay attention to the people who are still remaining in captivity by being held by Hamas. And it was really a call on the international and Australian humanitarian organisations to acknowledge the horrendous attacks on Jewish women on October 7. So we wanted the condemnation of the war crimes by all these groups. So we're hoping that with enough attention and enough pressure, they will turn their minds to condemning the acts and pressuring either the Red Cross or the relevant authorities in Hamas to release the remaining hostages, and particularly the women hostages.
And as for the time of our conversation, there are still more than 130 hostages in Gaza. Do you know how many of those are women?
We know at least 17 and possibly more. And we've also heard reports from the US State Department that Hamas has made statements around not wanting to release those women because they're fearful of what those women will share in terms of their survivor testimony. So I can't bear to think about what these poor young women are going through currently. And as we know, some of the survivors of both the Nova Music Festival and some of the massacres have been treated, a considerable number of them have been treated in mental hospitals in Israel. And unfortunately, we're now reading the situation where some people have taken their lives post the trauma of October 7. So the trauma just continues to grow.
Yeah. Lilian, what is your next move? Any follow-up events or any other gatherings on this matter?
This event was organised by a larger group of volunteers who came together in the wake of October 7, a group of volunteers who've been collecting under the heading of Project A, just in the absence of anyone having the time or the energy to think of a more effective, effective name. And what it is, it's a group of about 750 volunteers, mostly communicating on WhatsApp and encouraging each other and empowering one another to be active advocates for the Jewish community here in Australia. So we have doctors groups and creative groups and lawyers and people from all walks of Jewish life and some not Jewish coming together to rally, to write letters of support to politicians, to condemn social media influencers who are speaking out inappropriately or who are calling for the genocide or ethnic cleansing of Jewish people from Israel. So it's a grassroots movement called Project A that grew out of the horrific events of October 7. So we plan many, many more activations depending on what comes up, whether it's combating the school strikes that people have tried to do or to speak out against people who are uninformed and uneducated possibly about the reality of what's happening in the Middle East.
Okay, Lilian, one last question, and it's to do with anti-Semitism. I've been asking my guests lately if they do feel that anti-Semitism is a problem for them. I will ask you now, do you think it's a real problem, and do you feel it here in Australia?
I don't believe that we are under considerable physical threat. I think what we are seeing is a new war on ideas and ideals. And I think anti-Semitism, which is the oldest form of hatred, has just been resurrected in a new guise as an anti-Zionism or anti-Israel type hatred. And what it is, it's a war of ideas where Israel, a free and democratic, not unproblematic state, but a state that stands for freedom of equality and freedom of religion and the freedoms that we here in Australia sometimes take for granted, against the Islamic fundamentalist jihadi regimes like Hamas, like ISIS, like Boko Haram, like Hezbollah. So that's what I see. It's just the resurrection of an old hatred that goes beyond just the Jews.
The State of Israel published a map with countries that may be not safe to travel at the moment. For the first time, Australia has been marked as yellow. Do you feel safe here?
I feel safe in general. I'm despairing at the rise in anti-Semitism, but as I said, I think it's more of a rise in the ideas, and it's basically allowed people license to say things that maybe 2 months ago they would not have said. But I feel like our community security group is doing a wonderful job. I believe that Victoria Police, whilst they might need to exercise more powers, I think they're doing okay. I don't feel physically unsafe.
Lilian Klein from Melbourne, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Thank you so much. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.